mosquito control, as we know it, is a $2 billion industry. Pest control, excluding mosquito control, is a $24 billion industry.
Yeah.
I got into this. So many of our franchisees got into this because we wanted to play in the $2 billion sandbox. That's not chump change. That is a big industry, right? However, a $24 billion sandbox is much, much bigger. And then add on top of that, holiday lighting, which is $5 billion. And that's an industry that's growing faster than either mosquito or pests combined. We're talking about a $31 billion industry.
All right, welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's guest is no stranger to the show, Andy Fuller, the founder and CEO of Mosquito Hunters, Pest Hunters, and Humbug Holiday Lighting. He's back with a big announcement. Andy's 3-in-1 home services model is now official. And it's not just smart, it's working. By expanding from a $2 billion mosquito control niche into an over $30 billion total market with pest control, holiday lighting, he's not only growing top and bottom line revenue, he's solving the seasonal staffing problem that plagues most seasonal service businesses. Pests have survived over 400 million years. They're some of the most resilient creatures on the planet. And now Andy's building one of the most resilient home services models to match. With 80% recurring revenue, multiple revenue streams, high margins, exterior work that's scalable across the country, this is a masterclass in smart expansion. Let's dive into what's working and how he's retaining talent and what's next for this unstoppable home services trifecta. I hope you enjoy the show. So, Andy, what brought you back? You reached out. You're like, hey, man, I want to come back on the show. Sounds like you have some updates or developments with the brand. Talk to us.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for having me back on. And this is exactly why I love talking with you and Justin, is you guys are seekers. You guys are actually, this is not your typical franchise conversation or typical franchise podcast. But yeah, I asked to come back and thank you for having me back because we made a big announcement about 2 months ago at our franchise conference. And that is the rebrand from Mosquito Hunters to a 3-in-1 franchise concept. We've sort of known these things internally for the last couple of years, and we talked about them in detail on the last podcast, last time I was on, how we're full service mosquito control in the traditional sense, but also pest control, but also holiday lighting. And we wanted to be more declarative about that to the world at large. And that ended up being sort of the biggest regulator on our growth. We came to realize is, hey, let's talk to you about your rodent problems or your ant problems and spider problems. Yeah, but the name's Mosquito Hunters. And so we are now, as of a couple months ago, officially franchising's only 3-in-1 home and commercial services concept. We're mosquito control, pest control, and holiday lighting. We were inspired in a lot of ways by a KFC and Taco Bell.
Okay.
Or you were drive by one building and you see that it's KFC, Taco Bell combination, or maybe it's
Dunkin' Baskin. KFC. Yep.
Exactly. Same. So why do they do that? They do that because it gives them a higher AUV with the same footprint. They can be a lot more efficient and generate a lot more revenue by solving effectively more problems, you know, in one sitting. And so that's what we're doing. We said, well, what if we could do that, but just apply that towards home services? Nobody has ever really done that before. But if we're going to do it, how do we do it the right way and maintain simplicity? And, you know, that model we had dialed in, the last piece was make it really clear to the world what it is that we do, which is 3-in-1.
I love what you're doing, obviously. And one of the reasons I love what you're doing is I am not a fan of a one-legged stool. I mean, just conceptually, it makes no sense to me. So I get it. So it's like a contradiction of terms in franchising. It's like, I don't understand why McDonald's doesn't sell hot dogs. Okay. That it almost seems unreasonable that the brand won't sell a hot dog, right? It does. It seems kind of weird. No, laser focus. That's what I love about franchising. They're not generalists, they're specialists. Andy and his company specialize in eradicating, right, mosquitoes. But then the other side of me as a business owner says, I really wish that the services offering was a little more broad, a little more diversified. Put a little more belts and suspenders on this idea that I'm not on that one-legged mosquito stool. So I love what you're doing. What I don't like is when a brand does this and they overcomplicate their brand. So I want to talk about this 3-in-1 concept. Did you add operational complexities? Are you finding difficult to cross-train the employees? Are you actually adding top-line gross revenue? Are you cannibalizing services because you only have so much capacity? How did the 3-in-1 actually increase top line, increase bottom line, not increase labor count? Is this a win, right? You were in the beta test phase. You just said it. I'm announcing to the world. It's official. Like, this is now memorialized. Right. Talk to us more. Get granular about what impact did it have on the brand to do this.
Man, that's fantastic. So to start, the number one reason I wanted to get into holiday lighting and pest control rather than just our original roots of just mosquito was employee retention. You know about it. You've talked about it before on your show. Like, that is the toughest part, in my view, of being in a seasonal business is you effectively act as like a farm team for the most talented employees. And so you bring them in and normally they're a little unpolished and you work together and they grow and they mature and they learn new skills and they realize, hey, this is a good job and all, but wouldn't it be cool if I could get paid 12 months out of the year and not have to be furloughed in the winter? It's like, yeah, and actually it wouldn't be pretty cool to do. So they end up going someplace else where they can easily get paid 12 months out of the year. And I hated that. It was always the albatross of the business. Whereas now this is the main driver for me is, yes, obviously more top line revenue. That's great. Of course, more profit. Yes, that's what it's about. But man, everything gets easier when you can keep your best and brightest employees year over year, where you can start giving them a means of having sustainable income 12 months out of the year. And then, by the way, when you have higher revenue, then that means you can also do things like provide nice benefits for your employees. So as they mature in their lives and they want to have families and have a little bit more security, you can enable that, which is also some of the issue with seasonal businesses too. It's like, you just don't even have the scale, you know, to provide the employees with what they want, you know, from a security perspective. So that's helped a lot. The customer acquisition cost has dropped precipitously because we already have you for a mosquito control customer, statistically, you are getting pest control from somebody. It's just probably not us at this point. Right now, 17% of our customers are getting more than just mosquito control services. So it's a huge opportunity. We're sort of reverse engineering this and backing into this now by educating these customers. So bit by bit, we're getting them on board with the pest control program. And it's totally different for our new franchisees coming on board because they start by describing this value proposition right out of the jail, you know, which is different than, you know, also here in Chicago. I know I said this last time, I still own the Chicago franchise, the original location here. We've got some customers we've been servicing for 11 years. And so, yeah, it takes a couple of conversations to go back and say, hey, I know we were just doing your mosquito, but also we can do pest control and also holiday lighting. But the thing that's beautiful about the holiday lighting isn't just the additional revenue and isn't just the additional work that you have for your best and brightest employees, but it's the fact that it's so high margin. I mean, we charge the same amount year after year after year for that install and takedown and maintenance. It's all kind of included in the package for the customer, but we're only absorbing the material costs once every 3 to 5 years. You know, it's those material costs, the lights, right? Where those material costs only come up front. And then when it comes time to replace them, yeah, it's 3 to 5 years later, which means that our profitability goes much higher in year two and in year three and any years where you're not replacing what those lights are.
Right.
So it's really solved a lot of problems kind of at the same time. And the fact that we were able to do this by keeping the same vehicle, adding a ladder rack on top of the existing vehicle. Like it just, the more we got into it, the more it made sense. Like, this is where it should go. And I don't know what the future looks like for the other mosquito blank companies that are out there. But from my perspective, I think there was a time where you could get into the mosquito business and you could build an empire. And in my view, I think that time has passed, quite frankly.
Love your honesty. So you just said at the top of the call, people just don't truth bomb like you just did. You're right. Okay. When you're a first mover, like when you're Hertz, right? Hertz owned the rental car market. Avis's tagline was, we try harder. They knew they weren't number one. And then you had budget, right? And then you had enterprise, and then you had national, and they've diluted this market. There's just so many. Well, mosquitoes, this was not a crowded space. There's a first mover to the market, and then very quickly, 2, 3, 4, 5. I love your honesty. I completely agree with you. And again, it goes back. Listeners, be very careful buying businesses when the one-legged stool, but more importantly, be careful buying businesses with franchisors that are not visionaries, that don't see far down the road, that don't understand their business and the unintended consequences of just watching market share being taken away from them and then just yelling at the franchisees saying, you need to market more. You just need to market more. It's a marketing problem. No, it's not a marketing problem. It's a market share problem, right? You can't dilute a finite market of people who can afford to eradicate mosquitoes. That market's not, let's say, massive, but everyone wants to get rid of the perimeter of their home when it comes to ticks, or they need to protect their home from, you know, all these insects. And the higher net worth client, as you know, that you're targeting, that could afford and has the discretionary spending, that guy or gal is also saying, I'm not getting on a ladder anymore to put up Christmas lights. You do it. Yeah. My entire neighborhood lights up with trucks and bucket arms and all this stuff. For $2,500, the guy will come to my house, install commercial grade, perfectly aligned light bulbs on my house. Love it. $2,500. Come.
Beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. I don't have to run the risks of climbing up ladders. Neither do my elderly neighbors. It is. It's a win-win for everyone. So I do. I love what you're doing. How has, maybe pick a service and let's carve out these three. When you added pest control, it doesn't have to be a number. What did it do to top line? We jumped top line 10%, bottom line grabbed operational efficiency of 5. You don't have to say the number, but I know you and I know you know your numbers. What did it do service by service?
Well, look at it this way. Here's what I could say, I think, to start the conversation is last year, the non-mosquito pest control revenue per customer was $400 to $600. And that's almost 100% of the time a pest control customer is already getting mosquito control services. And the average mosquito control revenue per customer was $750 in the low end in the coldest parts of the country up to like $1,200 plus, you know, further south you go, right? So you can add that revenue on top of that mosquito revenue. Like step away from the widget for a moment, step away from pest control, like, and you just see what kind of difference that makes to the math. To the customer who already knows you, likes you, trusts you, statistically, they are 12 times more likely to get pest control services than they are mosquito control services. So why not you? Why not you provide that for them? I mean, the real number is think of the pie chart of the industries could be all kind of in one piece. And this is something that I shared with franchisees when we made this big announcement. I've made some announcements on LinkedIn about this, but mosquito control, as we know it, is a $2 billion industry. Okay. Pest control, excluding mosquito control, is a $24 billion industry.
Yeah.
12 times the size. So I got into this. So many of our franchisees got into this because we wanted to play in the $2 billion sandbox. That's not chump change. That is a big industry, right? However, a $24 billion sandbox is much, much bigger. And then add on top of that, holiday lighting, which is $5 billion. And that's an industry that's growing faster than either mosquito or pests combined. It's growing tremendously for exactly the reasons you talked about. The millennials and the baby boomers for different reasons don't want to get on ladders. They want to pay somebody else to do it, right? Especially at that time of year. Okay, so add those three industries together. We're talking about a $31 billion industry. So this is the change. Realizing that mosquito control is too crowded, getting too crowded, not just because of the other mosquito blank franchises, but just candidly, every pest control company in America also adding the service of mosquito control. Okay, so we went from $2 billion, where we're at now a combined $31 billion industry. By making the change from a branding perspective and from a value prop perspective, we've 15x'd the economic upside for franchisees.
Wow. Wow. Am I hearing you correctly when you carve out the 600, 800, the 700, 1200? Am I understanding that you're literally potentially doubling the top line gross of a franchise operation if you add the two together?
If you add them together, yeah. I mean, you more than double it. I mean, because the average job size last year, I think this average was pulled down by a few real bottom performers, but for holiday lighting, the average job size was $1,500 revenue, right? And then the average pest control job was 400 to 600. So let's just be conservative and say that's 1900 combined versus traditionally it was $750 to $1,200 for a mosquito control account. So if you look at just 750, you know, versus the 1900, like it's a big difference.
This is remarkable. I love it. And you're seeing this. Is this hypothetical or is this actually?
No, these are
actual
numbers. Yeah, this is what we did last year.
Holy crap! So what is the new item 19? Does the new item 19 reflect a system that has large adoption of the 3-in-1 or no, Cliff? I have a whole legacy problem that I'm trying to retrofit and rebrand vans.
It's a little bit of both. So we have some franchisees that came in, and this is like really what drove this is we had franchisees who said like, hell yeah, I want to grow. I want to build an empire. I want more, you know, so this would not have happened without our leading franchisees saying, we want to be a part of this. We want to crack this code with you. And so we built this out in a pilot over the course of 2 years, just for holiday lighting alone, about the same period of time for getting in on pest control. So there are those franchisees that are like, let's go. Like, yes, I came in for mosquito hunters just to be in mosquito control, but I want more. And then there are others that are a bit more bearish on this and say, well, this isn't what I signed up for. And so it's a process. I'd say about a third of the franchisees. No, that's not true. About half of the franchisees at this point in the system are doing both holiday lighting and pest mosquito. Everybody's doing pest mosquito at this point.
So I love home services. Home services does not mean repeat business. You do.
Yeah.
So not only you home services that I love, not only you recurring revenue, I bet you 80, I already know Orkin, Terminix, all these guys are 80% recurring revenue. These are billion-dollar companies, right? So you have to be right in line with 80% of or more of your revenue is recurring.
Yeah. We're at about 80% right now, and I think there's a lot more opportunity that's there. We just brought on a director of operations, a guy named Miguel Diaz, who was with Orkin for 20 years. Yeah, he was an executive there. He was running 6 states out west. And so now we have all of that intellectual capital just to help us be really serious and intentional about being in the pest control space. But yeah, absolutely. It's ugly. It's gross. People don't want to think about it. They want to pay somebody to take care of it, no matter what, whether you're on a ladder or not, they want somebody else to do it. So that's the opportunity for us. Let's solve this problem for other people, whether they're millennials or boomers or whatever. So that way they can do whatever else they want to be doing instead.
I love that the lion's share of your work is also on the exterior of the home. I know you're entering the interior, especially on the pest control.
Yeah.
But I do love that the lion's share of your revenue and the lion's share of your, let's say, recurring activity is exterior. You don't need to be home. It's okay. Leave your dog out, right? Mm-hmm. I love that. It just simplifies the operation versus what's going on. I'm stuck at the security gate. What's going on? She's not home yet, right? I love the fact that you're outside. You check so many boxes. And a lot of people don't think these things through. Just the benefits of being in a business with recurring revenue, home services, where you're on the exterior of the home. It doesn't mean I wouldn't go in the interior. I just heavily weight exterior work for those reasons.
Absolutely. Yeah. I found that within pest control, it's important to be able to and give that customer the peace of mind. They want to know that just in case, you know, I have problems inside the home that you are able to. So like that's important. But licensing aside, all of that aside, just operationally, we want to solve the problem without having to go inside. And for that matter, the customer wants us to solve the problem without going inside. And there have been so many advancements within pest control over the last 10 years, stuff that nobody ever really talks about because, you know, if you're not in the industry, it's kind of boring for most people. But they make the products a lot more effective now than they used to be. The methods are a lot more effective than they used to be that will mitigate the need for even going inside the home. I mean, if you want to go down the rodent control hole, pardon the pun, like there's just really basic stuff that you can do from a pest control perspective just to block out any holes that are in the home. just to mitigate that with mesh, like simply installing just some mesh or some copper, stainless steel, steel wool type material, you know, that goes there, just plugging up a hole. It's so basic. It has nothing to do with pesticides or anything. It's the greenest thing that there is. You don't even need to be licensed to do some of these things because you're not working with any of these products. They're so simple. But these are the innovations that have happened over the past 10 years that give us a really good foray into this space.
Interesting. That was one of my questions for you. Now that you've bolted on all these different services, now you're getting involved in, let's say, chemicals or products, right? Different types of things. I know you just mentioned, you know, steel wool, which doesn't require any licensing. However, I don't know the terms, Preferin, or there's all these different words for some of these products. Do you need your staff to now be licensed to do some of these things?
It depends on the state for what the licensing is required. In most states, you need one person who's on the team to have a license, like with the Department of Public Health in your given state to be going in. I will say, like, big asterisk, it does matter what state we're talking about. And so that's something also that, you know, we have helped on our team to help a franchisee navigate that up front. Some states, like I'll just call out a few, where Texas and Florida, Tennessee, they're tougher than others. New York, of course, you know, they have their own nuances, but that's also where we have more franchisees than anywhere else because we've got the playbook for how to navigate that. It's a higher barrier to entry, which is frustrating in a sense, but in another sense, it gives us a bit of a moat relative to the other guys that are trying to get into this space. So I've come to appreciate it's kind of more of a good thing than a bad thing to have those things. But in most cases, you need to have one person who's on the team who's properly licensed, then you just need to be training everybody else on the team and monitoring their performance.
Okay, I like that. What's been the winner? Has the winner been pest or has it been holiday lighting as the bolt-on? Because, you know, you had your core competency, I get it.
Yeah.
But then you bolted two more on. Who won this revenue war or margin war?
It's so hard to compare, honestly, because they're totally different. I'll be honest, if I had to pick one business to be in, if it were possible, I'd be in the holiday lighting business 12 months out of the year.
So that's interesting you said that, because I looked into some of your franchisees, like, you know, Josh, I don't want to name drop, right? Or last name Reardon. Do you care? Oh, you don't care?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Like this guy, Josh Ambrose.
Yeah.
This guy banged out $300,000 in a year doing holiday lighting, $300,000. The guy already hired the crew. They were already hired and profitable, right? Just doing mosquitoes.
Right.
Then he adds on $300,000 of revenue. And it's like, I was already paying these guys. I was already profitable. Like, how much of that could hit the bottom line? You already bought the lights. It's just a labor play.
Right. Right. And what's great about Josh too is, and you mentioned Matt Reardon and others, is
you're
not just going after these existing homeowners. He's going after commercial accounts as well. He's in Florida. So huge HOA opportunity. Car dealerships. He did a Maserati dealership. The pictures looks awesome. It's really cool.
I bet.
Chick-fil-A's huge. Christmas is obviously huge within the Chick-fil-A system. So everybody wants to do a big. Other restaurants have been keeping up with the Joneses as well. So we see lots of opportunities with restaurants as well.
I live in an HOA and I was on our board for many years and we spent tens of thousands of dollars. There's 700 homes in my development, two entrances. And the amount of money that goes into the holiday lighting, and it's just remarkable. So yes, I mean, you look at Ambrose and Reardon and Hoffman and Willis and Villani, it's like, man, the lion's share of that money has to hit the bottom line. I bought the lights once. You touched on it a little bit, but for clarity, I buy these lights one time. What is the life expectancy of commercial grade lighting?
It's commercial.
Is it 5 years?
It depends on how well you're maintaining them. But I think at the low end, it's 3 years. At the high end, it's 6 or even 7 years. You know, if you're maintaining them well.
Give me a number. I want to understand this a little bit. This is fascinating. What was the cost basis of the lighting to produce $300,000 in lighting revenue?
Generally, I think you'd see that maybe 15 to 20% would be the material costs.
That's it? If a franchisee produced $300,000 in holiday lighting revenue, is my cost of lighting 60 grand to make 300 grand?
If you were a franchisee and you told me that's what you did, it wouldn't raise my eyebrows. That would be pretty normal for the industry. Yeah.
And that 60 grand can last 3 to 5 years. I buy it once and I'm banging out 300 a year. In 5 years, that's $1.5 million on a $60,000 cost basis. And all I have is labor.
It's a really good industry. And the problem is, yes, okay, well, what do I do the other 9 months out of the year? Well, we've already solved for that.
Right. No, this conversation is filling in the problem.
Right, right.
These are the holiday lighting is the filling the void of I'm about to lose my entire staff. I speak to people weekly with this problem, weekly. Business owners in Michigan, anywhere in America where it snows, and they're like, dude, I've been doing this 15 years. You have no idea how painful it is to be an entrepreneur in a seasonal business. There's only so much snow plowing I can do to maintain this crew that I have. My crew is in the teens or 30s in size.
Right.
I mean, how much snow plowing are we really going to do? He's like, I lose all these people. I try and get them back. Who went to Alaska? Who's chasing that job? Who's now getting crabs on a boat off of the coast of another Nova Scotia? Like, you hear all this stuff, right? That's what a lot of these employees do. They start chasing the endless summer, or they chase the endless season of money.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's crabbing or whether it's doing these seasons, right?
Yeah.
So I get it. I think it was smart.
Quote unquote strategic unemployment, which has never really sat right with me. I don't think that's a good to make for a lot of reasons. I don't think that's good to make that your strategy, you know, to have your employees go on unemployment and bring that back. Like, that's not really what unemployment benefits are there for. But why not do some work, you know, have more upside for everybody? It's solving more problems for the customer.
I totally agree.
More income for the employees. If you do the job right as a business owner, there's a lot more economic upside for you. So once we were seeing the results of this 3-in-1, it was like, yeah, this really is the future of what mosquito control as we know it, you know, is going to be.
All right. I want to talk about the customer for a minute. Who are they? Who can afford all this stuff? What have you learned about demos? It's like, Cliff, you need to operate in an area, 50,000 households. They have to make a minimum 75K household income. Is it 100? Who's the customer?
Typically, the customer is in that same range for mosquito. Absolutely. Okay. Pest control, it's not even a want. It's a need. You have to have pest control. It's a very broad spectrum. We generally, the way that we've priced is we price at the higher end. So we're looking for household income above $100,000 in most markets. So you're going for, you know, the high rent district. And then at the high end of that for holiday lighting, for sure. I mean, you already said earlier in your neighborhood, everybody's spending $2,500 a year on getting the holiday lights installed, and they handle everything, the design, installation, maintenance, takedowns. Same idea here. So we'll have people call in, ask for quotes, to say, I want to get a quote for holiday lights. We'll say, okay, the minimum job size starts at $500. You'll see in our item 19 that we had a franchisee who did lower than that for the minimum, which I recommend against. But otherwise, generally the minimum for most locations is $500. You'll have some callers say, whoa, that's way more expensive than $500. I was thinking 100, maybe 200 to do it. That's just not our customer. So This is raw, but just for context, hopefully it helps the listener. We see generally think of household value, and I know household value varies a lot for different reasons, but we're seeing household values of like 700, 750K is about the average of what we've noticed for the residential jobs. But that's also what we talked about for sizes of territories. That doesn't really factor in the commercial opportunities. That's where I see a much more opportunity with our brand over the next 5 years, is just to really get serious about more restaurants, car dealerships, office buildings, and HOAs, which we already mentioned, not just for holiday lighting, but for pest control as well. Because they're getting the pest control from somebody. It's just, it's not you until you change that.
Right. Okay. We have the customer. How are you acquiring the customer? Is it SEO? Are you doing Home Advisor, like third-party sites? Are you aggressively doing these lawn signs? Lawn signs are everywhere in your space.
Yeah, definitely not home advisor. We do a nice foundation of pay-per-click, SEO, Facebook groups. Facebook in general, like social media in general, is really tricky for pest control for most pest control companies. I will say we do have an advantage over just about everybody in pest control because we started with mosquito. And so we know how to have a brand that kind of resonates, and we know how to take something that's really dirty and ugly and make it kind of cool and make it kind of fun. There's a lot of a stigma with having pest control problems in your home. Like there's a stigma with saying, oh, you've got rodent problems, gross. Oh, you've got ants. There's not a stigma with having mosquito. So that's sort of our foot in the door. And that's sort of our niche, is we know how to reach this customer by starting the conversation with mosquito and then evolving into something else.
Okay. I like it. Did the investment change with the 3-in-1? What's the investment range now, adding all these services?
No, I think it's the same as the last time I was on. It's 141 to about 171,000 all in. And the thing that's so cool, you'll see in the item 7, you know, one of the most expensive things, if not the most expensive thing, is your inventory for the lights to start. But what's so great about this is we don't schedule a customer until they give us a 50% down payment.
Okay.
So think of the job, you know, you said $2,500. Okay, $1,250. I need $1,250 down from you before I can put you on the schedule. And maybe if we really want to have a conversation, Cliff, and maybe you're the kind of customer who wants to work on a deal, say, okay, we'll do a deal. We'll give you 5% off or even 10% off. Let's do the install at the beginning of October. You know, we can start to fill our pipeline early for those customers who are willing to have an early install. But we've bought the inventory in a lot of instances with the cash that we got from your 50% down payment. So we're growing the growth.
Love it. And you're right. I'm always chasing a deal. I'd be that guy. I don't have to turn them on, but they're on the home, and I don't have to start, you know, lightening up my house in October, but to get a deal, go ahead, install them, get ahead of it. And I agree with you. I feel like holidays are coming earlier and earlier every year. Retailers, because the world is crowded. Right. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of distraction. So every holiday season, you're seeing retailers get way early. Look at even clothing, season changes. It's like, what? We're already selling, you know, t-shirts? What just happened? So it seems to be coming early and early. And I like that strategy. Get a discount. You don't have to light it up, but just plug it in when you're ready in the timer or whatever. You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Phrenosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit us on the web at phrenosity.com. That's phrenosity.com. We look forward to working with you. Are you still doing another thing that I love with home services franchisors? You're answering the phone, you're scheduling the appointments, you're giving estimates. What exactly are you doing for the franchisee in terms of marketing, appointment setting, et cetera?
Yeah, we have an in-house call center that is the first line of defense. We receive those inbound web forms from the website and the inbound phone calls. The call center agents will quote and close on behalf of the franchisee. So normally it's not a matter of like scheduling an in-person visit on behalf of the franchisee. It's the agent is closing over the phone. That's another advantage of starting with mosquito, is that, you know, mosquito is pretty easy to sell on the phone. It's honestly, I used to make a living as a salesperson. I sold things in college. Like I sold a lot of things in my career. Mosquito control is the easiest thing I've ever sold because you can quote really easily just by knowing the footprint of the property. You don't need to know any nuances of the home itself. You just need to know what the property size is. And then you need to be able to handle some really basic objections. Like, is it safe? How long does it last? Is it going to hurt my dog? Is it going to hurt my kids? They always ask about the dog before the kids for some reason, but yeah, you know, you handle
always. Welcome to America.
Going back to your earlier point. I mean, we have the agents that can do that on behalf of the franchisee. So the franchisee has bandwidth to really build the empire. And when I say that, I mean, be focused on like your growth plan, be focused on hiring staffs and training them. The franchisees who are most successful in our system, bar none, they're great leaders. That's one thing that they all have in common. They have totally different backgrounds in all sorts of other ways, you know, that we can talk about. But one thing that they all have in common is they are good at leading people and helping them grow and helping people who are on their team get a sense of meaning and purpose in their work.
That's awesome. Love it. Listeners, you have no idea how valuable it is when a franchisor steps up and starts answering the phone. It's one of the biggest issues with franchisees. They have great intentions of running their business, but they can't do sometimes the basic things like answering the phone, overcoming objection, answering those questions, following up and closing the deal. So I love when franchisors provide that level of support to the franchisee. It's a game changer and it's what really increases revenue. So let's talk about that. The item 19. How did you carve out your item 19 with the 3-in-1? Are you breaking everything out?
Yeah. So we have the mosquito section broken out within itself. We have a non-mosquito pest section broken out. And then we have a holiday lighting section broken out where you can start to see what those averages were. And it's also helpful to do that going back to your prior point from, I don't know, 20 minutes ago in the conversation, that we don't have 100% adoption of holiday lighting in the system. So you can actually look at the numbers and just see what the correlation is and see what sort of difference it makes to those who use this versus those who don't. But just to be clear, because I mean, I'm sure some of the listeners here are people that are thinking about starting a business and, as far as we're concerned with Hunters and Humbug, anybody who comes in the system now and who has come in the system over the past 18 months has been 3-in-1, even before we even had a name for it. You know, they're doing all three.
Okay. Yeah. Can you share numbers? What can you share on the call today?
I mean, on
that item 19.
I think the part that we have in there is the average job size. So we talked about that for mosquito. We said 750 to about 1,200 for non-mosquito. That's gone up relative to last year. It's 400 to 600 now. It was like 300 to 400 average revenue per customer, and then for holiday lighting, it was at, I think I said 2,000 last time I was on here, and that's at about 1,500 now because we had a franchisee or two who was not following the 500 minimum job size. So there were some, like you'll see on here, I think it's like $70-something was the minimum job. I wouldn't do that. That's not really worth the effort to do that. But you can start to math that out when you say, okay, here's how much revenue I can get from a customer. We have really strong validation, so you can talk to people like Matt Reardon and then Josh Ambrose and Brad Gullins and Robert Hoffman and Tino Villani, on and on, get a sense of what their profitability is for each service line because it is different. And then it's really easy for a candidate to build out a projection of the kind of business that they think they want to run.
Do you have some million-dollar franchisees?
I think this is the year. I'll tell you something that I haven't really put out into the world other than just here with Hunters Humbug. I said that at our conference this year is that somebody's going to do it first, and it's going to be very soon. And when it happens, that person can shave my head at the next Hunterpalooza conference.
No way.
And the one person said, well, if it's me, I'm actually going to give you a mohawk. I said, okay, give me a mohawk then, and I'll wear it with pride. I'm going to wear it throughout the whole Hunterpalooza conference. So I think we're close, and we're getting there a lot faster than we ever were in the past by just being in the mosquito control space and at higher margins. And those who are growing the fastest, of course, are the ones who have 3-in-1. Those who have been doing holiday lighting for a few years, you're seeing generally 30 to 40% of their overall revenue is holiday lighting revenue.
All right, very good. This was great. What other announcements you want to make? We're running out of time. This was very comprehensive.
So I'll say also on the pest control space, talked a little bit about that. It's a great time to be hiring talent from within the pest control space because of all the benefits you mentioned about it, being good recurring revenue and really high volume and good profit margin. It's ripe for M&A. So all these small and mid-sized pest control companies all across the United States are getting acquired left and right, which means that the people that were working for the company pre-acquisition are a little perturbed. Somebody moved their cheese. I used to have more authority and autonomy, and now it's been shifted. So I'm not happy. We're hearing that all the time. So we have franchisees that are making all sorts of hires from within the industry. I just did it myself. We had got a new GM last September from the pest control industry. We got a new ops manager, and we got a new sales manager position we didn't even have before. All these guys are coming in with combined for three decades of experience in the pest control industry, which is, it's fantastic. And they were happy to do it, you know, and it was a good deal, I think, all around for us. It was a good deal for me, but they were happy to do that because they wanted that authority and autonomy back. So think about that. If you're thinking about getting into a business, get one where there's disruption happening, and think about how you can get into the middle of the story and lean into that disruption. And that's what we're looking to do. That's what we are doing.
Great advice. I love that. A lot of talent in play that you can shark and bring on your team. Look what you did with the Orkin guy. I mean, that's a major move. That was smart. As you said, there's a lot of intellectual property in that employee that is now in your company. This is how we did it at a multi-billion dollar brand. Orkin's like $14, $15 billion company. This is not a small company.
Right.
I'm talking about market cap. It's like insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, I just wrote an exclusion. I would talk about that for a moment, but here's just one like basic example. And these are ideas that we get from guys who come on board from being in the industry and do a promotion for just a simple door sweep at the bottom of the door. Just mention that to the customer. Hey, we have a special going on this month. We can do a door sweep on the bottom. It's $150. Okay, I'm going to gross $70 on that $150. So we do that across the thousands of customers that we have. What kind of upside do I have with that? If I'm going to do a gross of $70 on a $150 sale for one door, how many homes have one door on them?
Right.
You know what I mean? So these are the things that we can just tap into by
a hotel room. Yeah, right. Who has one door?
Yeah, right.
A hotel room.
That's right. All right. But even then, there's a bathroom. Hopefully, there's a bathroom door.
Right. That's great, man. I love what you're doing. I'm glad you came back. I think it's a great announcement. I'm happy that it's official. You check a lot of boxes. You did prior. You check even more now. I wish you great success. If you do get your hair cut, I think it's another opportunity to come back on, or at least send us a picture.
No doubt.
So you could post it on social media.
You want me to keep the mohawk and just make that my look now?
Whatever you do, I just want to know what happened.
I'll be the first silver-haired mohawk in history.
Right. This was good, man. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
I just say, anybody listening to this, whether you go into business for yourself or not, just life is short. Life is shorter than you think. So just remind yourself of that and make sure that you're doing what you want to do with your life. Be intentional.
How do you top that? Love it, man. Thanks for coming back, Andy. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Cliff.
Great seeing you.
Likewise.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.